Hey everyone, welcome to the show. You ever get that feeling like you're being followed by your past? Like no matter how hard you try, you can't outrun the choices you made.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's kind of what we're diving into today.
Okay.
A thriller that'll leave you wondering if we can ever truly escape who we were.
Interesting.
It's called Pretty Face by Mark Dawson.
Never heard of it.
You can find a link in the description, by the way.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
This book, it's a real page-turner. Throws us right into the world of Isabella Rose.
Isabella Rose.
Yeah, she's a former assassin trying to build a new life for herself in Marrakesh.
So she's trying to, like, leave that life behind.
Exactly, but peace. Let me tell you.
Go on.
Peace is a luxury she can't afford.
I see.
If you're ready to explore this world where every decision could be your last, hit that like button and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Okay, so what's so interesting about Isabella?
Well, what's really fascinating is that she's not just hiding from danger. She's actually seeking normalcy.
Normalcy. For an assassin.
I know, right? It's almost like she's trying to convince herself more than anyone else that she's changed.
But is she really?
That's the big question. She volunteers at a local orphanage, tries to build a quiet routine in this beautiful house she has. But it all feels a little too perfect, you know? It makes you wonder.
Yeah, I get you.
Is that genuine, or is it just a really well-crafted facade?
A facade, like she's hiding something.
Exactly. And then to top it off,
what?
Her inheritance starts drying up, forcing her to pick up some, let's say, freelance work.
Freelance.
Yeah, from this mysterious figure. They call him the broker.
Sounds shady.
Oh, it is very shady.
So how does she find this broker?
Through the dark web.
Of course.
It's like this constant reminder of her past, always pulling her back in, no matter how hard she tries to escape it.
It's like a metaphor for life, you know?
Right. Like those things we try to leave behind, but they always seem to find a way back.
Makes you think.
But here's the thing. Isabella claims she has a strict moral code.
A moral code? An assassin with a moral code.
I know it sounds contradictory, right? But she only takes on contracts for people she believes deserve to be punished.
So she's like a judge, jury, and executioner all in one.
Pretty much. It's a twisted sense of justice.
Very twisted.
Makes you wonder, though, can someone who takes lives ever truly find peace?
That's a deep question.
It is. Now, her first target, get this.
Yeah.
His name is Charlie Carter. Seems like your average pilot in Tunisia.
Okay, so what's so special about him?
Well, he's accused of smuggling goods for some sanctioned Russian oligarchs.
So not so average after all.
Not quite. But here's where it gets even more interesting.
What?
As Isabella digs deeper, literally they go on a diving trip together.
They go diving.
Yeah. She begins to doubt the intel.
What do you mean?
Well, Charlie's outward appearance doesn't really match the accusations against him.
Interesting. So it's like what you see isn't always what you get.
Precisely.
It makes you think, how much can we truly know about a person based on just surface level observations?
Right. It's a real mind game. Okay, are you ready for this?
I think so. What now?
Isabella finds herself underwater with Charlie.
Okay.
It's the perfect chance to take him out, you know?
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
The tension in that scene, it's palpable.
Wow.
But something stops her.
What? What stops her?
She sees this genuine kindness in him, this passion for life.
Huh.
And it clashes with the image the broker painted for her.
So she has a choice to make.
A huge choice. And it's a powerful moment of moral reckoning.
So what does she do?
She wrestles with her own code, questioning if taking a life, even one she deems deserving, aligns with the person she wants to be.
It's like an internal battle.
Absolutely. And ultimately, she defies the broker.
She doesn't kill him.
Nope. She chooses not to pull the trigger.
Wow, that's a big decision.
It is. It's like she's breaking free from the control of her past, making her own choices, regardless of the consequences.
So she's finally taking charge of her own life.
Exactly. But choosing to spare Charlie, well, it triggers a chain reaction.
What do you mean?
The orphanage, the one she volunteers at. It's suddenly under threat.
Under threat? How?
Starts small, a broken window, a threatening package arrives for Fatima, the manager. But then it culminates in this devastating fire that puts everyone Isabella cares about in danger.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
It is. And it raises so many questions.
Like what?
Was this random or is it connected to Isabella defying the broker?
That's a good question.
And this is where we're introduced to a whole new antagonist.
Oh.
General Abbas El-Masri.
Oh.
He's a powerful figure, ruthless, and he's seeking revenge.
Revenge for what?
For something Isabella did in her past.
Ah, so the past really does come back to haunt you.
It sure does. And now Isabella, she's not just fighting for herself anymore. She's fighting to protect innocent lives.
So the stakes are even higher now.
Way higher. And get this.
What?
The transcript details how Isabella infiltrates Al-Masri's world.
How?
She attends this super exclusive polo club, but not as herself. She creates this whole new identity.
Like a spy.
Exactly. Gathering intel with the precision of, well, an assassin.
That's pretty impressive.
It is, but it also makes you think.
What?
Can she really keep her emotions in check while navigating this dangerous world?
I mean, can you really separate your personal life from your work like that?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And here's where it gets even more complicated.
What now?
We're introduced to Aicha and the Dawn of Liberty.
Who are they?
A resistance movement.
Resistance? Against what?
They're trying to dismantle the corrupt Moroccan government.
So they're like freedom fighters.
Yeah, something like that.
And what about Aicha?
Well, she starts out seeming like just an ordinary student.
Okay.
Then she reveals her involvement in this underground network.
So it's all very secretive.
Oh, yeah. Lots of secrets. And their tactics, they escalate from peaceful protests to some pretty serious sabotage.
So they're not afraid to get their hands dirty?
Definitely not. And Isabella?
What about her?
She finds herself drawn to their cause.
Drawn to it. Why?
Well, is it genuine? Or is she using them to get closer to Al-Masri? You know, using their intel for her own revenge.
Could be both.
It's hard to tell with Isabella. But this alliance, it leads to a meticulously planned attempt on Al-Masri's life.
Where?
At a shooting range.
A shooting range. Bold move.
It is. But that's where things take a wild turn.
How so?
The rug is pulled out from under everyone, especially Isabella.
I don't like the sound of that.
It turns out, Aicha has been working with Al-Masri all along.
What?
Leading Isabella straight into a trap.
Oh, no, no.
It's a devastating betrayal.
I bet.
Both of them are captured.
Captured? By who?
Al-Masri and his men.
What happens to them?
They're facing interrogation and who knows what else.
It's scary.
It is. It really highlights the danger of this world.
Yeah, it's like you never know who to trust.
Exactly. But just when you think all hope is lost.
What happens?
We get hit with another twist.
Another one.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
This chaotic courtroom scene erupts.
A courtroom? What are they doing in a courtroom?
That's a good question. But it creates this unexpected opportunity for freedom.
They escape.
Somehow. And here's the biggest shock of all.
Lay it on me.
Isabella comes face to face with Michael Pope.
Michael Pope? Who's that?
Her former mentor, her partner.
Okay.
Who she believed was dead.
What? So he's alive?
Apparently so. It's like a ghost from her past has come back to life.
That's crazy.
I know, right?
But wait, how did he?
I know, so many questions. But their reunion.
Yeah.
It's far from simple.
I bet after all this time.
Years of assumed death, unanswered questions, the pain of his supposed loss.
It's a lot to process.
It is. And their escape, it's just the beginning of a whole new chapter.
This is getting good.
Oh, it's about to get even better.
Can't wait. So where do we leave off?
Okay, so we've got Isabella grappling with her past, seeking revenge, and now this figure from her past pops up back into her life.
Talk about a complicated situation.
Yeah, it's a lot. But let's rewind a bit back to before all this chaos. The transcript gives us these little glimpses into Isabella's life in Marrakesh.
Like what?
You see her daily routines, how meticulous she is, and her beautiful house, a traditional Moroccan riad.
Oh, I love riads. So peaceful.
Right. And she spends her time trying to find any trace of Michael, even though she's convinced he's dead.
That's interesting. Like she's trying to hold on to something or someone, even if they're gone.
It is, right. Yeah. Like she's trying to create this peaceful life, but her past just keeps creeping back in.
Makes sense.
It's almost like she's running from herself.
But can you really ever outrun who you are?
Exactly. And then there's this moment when she discovers that threatening package at the orphanage.
Right. That was scary.
You can feel her fear and anger, but it also pushes her to take action.
What does she do?
She takes on another job from the broker.
Another contract.
Yep. She needs the money to help Fatima and the kids, but it shows how trapped she is in this world.
It's like a vicious cycle.
Exactly. She's constantly pulled back into this life, even when she's trying to protect the people she cares about.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough spot to be in.
For sure. So this new target, Charlie Carter, at first, he seems like just another name on a list.
Okay. Tell me about him.
He's a pilot. Seemed to have a pretty ordinary life.
Average Joe.
Yeah, kind of. But the intel suggests he might be involved in smuggling for these Russian oligarchs who are under sanctions.
So maybe not so average after all.
Nope, not quite. And get this. He used to be a pilot for a commercial airline.
Oh.
But he got tired of the routine.
So he went rogue.
In a way, yeah. It adds this layer of complexity to his character, don't you think?
Definitely. It makes him more human.
Right. He's not just a bad guy. He's a person who made choices, even if they weren't the best ones, to get the life he wanted.
Interesting parallel to Isabella.
Exactly. They're both looking for control in a world that constantly tries to define them. Now, back to Isabella.
Okay.
The way she approaches this contract, it's fascinating.
What does she do?
She transforms herself. Creates this whole new identity, Isabella Fisher, a successful model.
A model.
She seamlessly blends into this glamorous world of Algiers.
Impressive.
Right. She even creates a fake email confirmation for her trip, just in case.
Wow, she's meticulous.
She doesn't miss a detail. It shows how careful and strategic she is.
She's definitely not leaving anything to chance.
Not a single thing. But as she spends time with Charlie, their diving trip, it becomes more than just a cover.
What do you mean?
She sees his passion, his genuine kindness, his love for life.
So she's seeing a different side to him.
Absolutely. And it starts to break down the walls she's built around herself.
She's letting her guard down.
It's like she's recognizing a kindred spirit in Charlie.
Someone who understands her need for freedom.
Yeah, maybe. And it leads to this incredible moment underwater.
Underwater.
They're diving, remember. And she has the chance, the perfect opportunity to eliminate him.
So it happens.
She hesitates. She struggles with her instincts, her training.
It's like she's fighting with herself.
Exactly. And in the end, she defies the broker.
She doesn't do it.
Nope. She chooses compassion over just blindly following orders.
Wow, she really is changing.
It's a major turning point for her character.
Makes you think.
But this act of defiance, it coincides with that fire at the orphanage.
Right. It's like one step forward, two steps back.
It's true. It shatters any sense of safety she might have had.
Poor Isabella.
It fuels her determination to take down Al-Masri, to protect those she cares about.
So she's going after him.
Full force. And her infiltration of that exclusive polo club.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
It's like something out of a spy movie.
How so?
She creates this elaborate persona, Isabella Fisher, a wealthy art collector.
That's brilliant, right?
It gives her access to Al-Masri's inner circle.
So she can gather information on him.
Exactly. It's a dangerous game, but she plays it with such skill.
She's pretty amazing.
She is. But just when you think she's working alone, we're introduced to Aicha and the Dawn of Liberty.
Remind me who they are again.
They're a resistance movement, fighting against the corruption in the Moroccan government.
Right, the freedom fighters.
Yeah, Aicha is part of it.
She seems so innocent at first.
Appearances can be deceiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
But their presence adds this whole new layer of intrigue to the story.
Definitely. It raises the stakes.
Isabella's decision to join forces with them, it's risky, but it gives her access to information she needs.
It's a win-win for both of them.
In a way, yeah. But as they work together, Isabella's perspective begins to shift.
How so?
She starts to see the bigger picture. The systemic corruption that fuels the Dawn's resistance.
It's not just about her revenge anymore.
Right. It becomes about something more.
Fighting for a cause.
Exactly. And it all leads to that tense scene at the shooting range.
Oh, yeah. The assassination attempt.
The planning, the waiting, the sudden realization that it's a trap.
It was a crazy scene.
It really was. And then that gut-wrenching betrayal when Aicha reveals she's been working with Al-Masri all along.
That was rough.
It's a harsh lesson in trust, or the lack thereof. In this world.
It's true. You never really know who's on your side.
But even in captivity, Isabella, she doesn't give up.
What does she do?
She notices this loose brick in her cell wall, and she starts working at it, patiently, until she creates an escape route.
That's smart.
She's resourceful, determined to regain control no matter what.
I don't like that about her.
Me too. And then, out of nowhere, Michael Pope shows up.
Wait, I thought he was dead.
Everyone did. He orchestrates this incredible escape from the courthouse.
Wow, talk about a dramatic entrance.
It's a scene you have to see to believe. But it's more than just an escape. It's this reunion charged with all these unspoken emotions.
Years of history between them.
Exactly. And their journey to Lagos, it's not just about getting to safety. It's about confronting their past, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
It's a chance for them to heal old wounds.
Maybe. But as they're gathering supplies, training, preparing for the final showdown with Al-Masri, there's this undeniable tension between them.
I bet, after all they've been through.
Right. It's like they're walking on eggshells around each other.
Understandable.
But then something unexpected happens.
Mm.
What's that?
There's a hint of a connection between Isabella and Charlie.
Charlie, wait, I thought she broke things off with him.
She did, but it's like there are still feelings there.
Do you think someone like Isabella can allow herself to love after everything she's experienced?
It's a good question, isn't it? Can someone so used to living in the shadows ever step into the light? It's a glimmer of hope, but her life, it casts a long shadow over everything.
That's true. It's a dangerous world she lives in.
And it forces her to make a difficult choice.
What does she do?
She breaks things off with Charlie for good, telling him a lie to protect him from the danger that surrounds her.
Wow, that's a tough decision.
It is. It shows how much she cares, but it also breaks her heart.
Poor Isabella. It seems like she can't catch a break.
It's true. She's constantly making sacrifices, pushing away the people she cares about for their own safety.
It's a heavy burden to carry.
But it also makes her who she is, this complex, strong, and incredibly resilient woman.
I can't wait to see what happens next.
Me too. This story is just getting started. It really shows you the weight of the life she leads, right? Always having to make these impossible choices.
Yeah, it's like she can't escape the darkness, even when she tries to protect the people she loves.
It makes you wonder if there's ever truly a way out for someone like her.
Right. Can you ever really leave the past behind?
Exactly. But even with all that, the transcript shows us these moments of, I don't know, like vulnerability with Isabella.
Vulnerability, really? She always seems so tough.
She is tough, but there are these little glimpses, these cracks in the armor.
Like what?
Well, remember when she's driving back to Marrakesh after breaking things off with Charlie? She stops at this roadside stall, just takes in the scenery.
Okay.
And she starts reminiscing about her time with Pope in Goa, back when things were simpler.
It's like she's longing for a different life.
Yeah, a life free from violence and deception. It makes you realize that deep down, she's still human.
It's like she's searching for something, some kind of peace.
Exactly. And speaking of blending in, remember that detail about her buying a traditional abaya?
Oh, yeah, to watch Al-Masri's villa.
Right. It's a small thing, but it shows how adaptable she is.
Like a chameleon?
Totally. She can transform herself into whoever she needs to be to achieve her goals.
It's kind of impressive in a way.
It is, right? She's Isabella Rose, the former assassin seeking redemption, but she's also Isabella Fisher, the glamorous socialite, and now this anonymous figure in abaya, a ghost in the shadows.
She's got layers, that's for sure.
Layers and layers. And then there's that scene where she climbs the wall of the orphanage to save the kids from the fire.
Oh, yeah, that was intense.
It's pure adrenaline. You see her strength, her courage, her absolute need to protect those kids.
She's fearless.
It's like she becomes this guardian angel, putting her own life on the line to shield them from harm.
It's like that fire ignited something in her, a need to fight back against the darkness.
I think you're right. It's a turning point in her journey. She goes after Al-Masri with everything she's got.
It's not just revenge anymore, is it?
No, it's about justice, about holding him accountable for all the pain he's caused.
It's like she's finally found her purpose.
Maybe so. And her decision to team up with Aicha in the Dawn of Liberty, even after the betrayal, it shows how much she believes in their fight.
So she forgives Aicha.
Well, it's more complicated than that. I think she understands why Aicha did what she had to do.
That's pretty generous of her.
It is, and it shows how much she's grown. But it's still a risky move, trusting Aicha again.
Trust is a hard thing to earn back.
Definitely. But they need each other to take down Al-Masri.
So what happens? Do they get him?
Oh, yeah. The final scenes at the Polo Club are incredible.
Tell me everything.
Isabella and Pope blend into the crowd, waiting for the right moment to strike, and then Al-Masri gets suspicious. There's this crazy chase through the streets of Marrakesh.
Sounds intense.
It is. It's a real edge-of-your-seat climax.
Yeah.
But in the end, Isabella confronts Al-Masri.
And
let's just say justice is served.
She finally gets her revenge.
Yeah, but it's bittersweet. The transcript ends with Isabella driving off alone, leaving Charlie behind.
So she chooses a life of solitude.
It seems like it. It's almost like she can't escape the darkness that's become a part of her.
It's a powerful ending. Makes you think about the lasting impact our choices have on us.
It really does. So, Pretty Face, it's more than just an action-packed thriller. It's a story about redemption, forgiveness, and the complexities of human nature.
I love how it makes you question your own morals, what you would do in those situations.
Right. What would you do if you were Isabella? Would you seek revenge or choose forgiveness? Can you ever truly outrun your past?
So many questions.
I know. Tell us what you think in the comments. What was your favorite moment in this wild ride of a story?
Don't forget to share this deep dive with your friends. And we'll be back next week with another fascinating journey.
See you then.